Hello, and welcome to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections podcast called Lockup Lowdown. The goal of this podcast is to provide listeners with information pertaining to all aspects of corrections, one issue or one topic at a time. I'm your host, DOC Communications Director Susan McNaughton. Many of our listeners may not know this, but the concept of inmate labor goes back to colonial days, as far back as 1682, when William Penn suggested the first state prison system, Pennsylvania's, replace torture and mutilation as punishment for crimes with hard labor in houses of corrections. While Penn's intentions were not systematically executed when his penal code of 1682 was repealed, his efforts were not futile because they left a mark on the laws of Pennsylvania and the evolution of prison labor across the nation. In 1773, with the construction of the Walnut Street Jail in Philadelphia, Penn's order to establish workhouses was revived. Thanks to then what was later called the Pennsylvania Prison Society. The Prison Society called for work not to be for punishment, but to be used as an agent of reform. The earliest act providing for the solitary employment of inmates in prison workshops was enacted in 1789. This act was superseded by the Act of 1790, which outlined the regulation of industries at the Walnut Street Jail. This law regulated the hours and days of the week inmates were to work. The law also authorized the keeper to provide the stock and implements for the workshops and to make contracts for the sale of articles. This prison, the Walnut Street Jail, transformed into the Walnut Street Prison, which was Pennsylvania's first state prison. From 1790 through the late 1820s, the most common occupations were nail making, shoemaking, stone sawing, weaving, and picking, and carding wool and hair. Inmates also made their own clothing. I'd like to pause here for a minute to give credit to former PCI employee Heather Yates, who researched and wrote a fascinating history on correctional industries from which I took this information. Now, let's fast forward to correctional industries today. Today's topic is Pennsylvania correctional industries, and joining us is Tracy McCullough and Calais Conte. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Before we get started, would each of you please provide our listeners with a brief background of your corrections employment history? Can we start with you, Calais?
Yes, my name is Calais Conte. I worked 30 years in Ohio Department of Corrections. I started as a sales manager for correctional industries, and I was promoted to business administrator and deputy superintendent and a superintendent and then a deputy secretary for the Department of Corrections, and I retired as a director of prison industries in Ohio.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. 30 years. CI Ohio, Deputy Superintendent, Superintendent, Deputy Secretary.
Yes.
Congratulations. And now here you are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much. And Tracy.
Yes. I also have 30 years with the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania. I started out inside Camp Hill Prison and have rose through the ranks of administrative work. Through an AO1 to now an AO4, and in the sales department in the Correctional Industries Bureau, and it's been a very rewarding and fulfilling career thus far.
Great. All right, well, thank you both for that information. So let's get to the nitty-gritty of correctional industries. How many factories do you have, and at which facilities?
We are currently in 19 of the 26 prisons throughout Pennsylvania, and they are all over the state. They're covering the 67 counties throughout Pennsylvania. We have factories ranging from woodwork to clothing, all types of products that we have.
Okay, we'll get to a little more detail about that later, but that's okay. So tell me, how many employees does CI have? And by employees, I mean citizen employees.
Currently, we have about 177 citizens employees.
Okay. So 177. So they would be considered like factory foremen? Is that what most
factory
of the titles
foreman,
are?
Factory foreman, manager ones and manager twos.
Okay.
And factory supervisors okay. as well.
And both men and women?
That's correct.
Okay, great. So how many inmates are employed throughout DOC's PCI?
Currently we have 1,574 inmates currently employed okay. with DOCI, and we hope to improve that number in the succeeding years.
Okay. But 1,600 is a pretty good amount, right?
Well, it's a pretty good amount, but we're not satisfied with
okay.
it yet. Yes,
okay.
We want to do more. The more inmates you have working, the better it is for the citizens of Pennsylvania when they come out after the incarceration.
Okay. So by working in CI, these almost 1,600 individuals are taught like this, what they call the soft skills, right, which would be learning to wake up on time, get to work on time, get to work every day.
Work with others, yeah. Learning how to take instruction.
And criticism, maybe, right?
Yes, yes. Learning yeah. to become a lead worker, working well with others, all
great.
Of that.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the iMakes. What kind of products do you make?
Well, there are 3,000 plus products that we make.
Really?
Yes.
And that's incredible.
There's an incredible range of products from garments to license plates, furniture, metal fabrication, lockers, footwear,
so
a whole host of products.
When we talk about garments, so are you talking about officer uniforms or are you talking about inmate uniforms?
Both.
Both.
We
okay.
make both.
Okay.
We make the CO coats,
uh-huh.
the officer uniforms, the inmate uniforms, all of that.
And I think, and I'm probably dating myself, but around 1995, Correctional Industries actually did a complete revamp of the corrections officer uniform then from what was a very old-fashioned blue denimish kind of long coat for the officers to a more black and gray, more modern look. Is there any work going on right now to maybe even improve the officer's uniform at this point? Anything you can talk about?
Yes, from what we understand, it could transition into a polo and pants in the future.
But I'm sure that's going to take a lot of review from a variety
right.
of committees. Nothing happens quickly, necessarily, when it comes to officer uniforms. So that's something that we'll all have to keep our eye on.
Yes.
But,
right.
but that's interesting. So I think you also make soaps. Is that true?
We make detergents, all kind of cleaning supplies, mm-hmm. including the hand soap, in one of our new factories that we're going to be opening at the shop in Huntington.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A new factory?
Yes.
So it was refurbished recently?
It was refurbished recently. They used to do it, you mm-hmm. know, and then they got away from it, and now we're charged to see if we can reinstitute that, which we're doing at Huntington.
Okay.
And it should be online in January.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I think I've heard a lot about your CI Optical Lab at Cambridge Springs. What can you tell me about that?
It's a great operation. That's one of the female facilities. And the young ladies there are very proud of the work they do there, which is to manufacture the eyeglasses. And it's an actually a certified program in which they pay to become certified in the making of the glasses, and it's something that they can take with them and are very successful at obtaining a job on the outside in, let's say, a public forum like a vision center or lens crafters or something like that.
I know that it's very successful, but because we've heard success stories where
mm-hmm.
actually the outside individual company is looking to hire certified people, and they will actually perform an interview with the inmate over the phone, and the inmate has a job the minute they're walking out of the institution.
That's correct. Right.
That is exciting.
Yeah, we're very proud of the relationship we have with that company.
That's great.
Yes.
And yeah, so when they're making these lenses and glasses, they're for other inmates in the state prison system?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about to whom you can sell products.
Well, we sell products, first of all, to our state prisons, one of our biggest customers, and we sell also to state agencies mm-hmm. around the state, including municipalities and local governments as well.
Okay. Now, that's by law, correct, that you are only allowed to sell to individuals that are nonprofit or other state agencies, governments?
That's correct.
Agencies.
That's correct.
Okay. That can be kind of limiting, I would suppose.
That's kind of limiting, but if the state agencies patronize us, we should be well in our way to advance ourselves to increase more industries as well.
Okay.
You know, but for right now, if all the state agencies buy from us, mm-hmm. I think we'll prove ourselves to the agencies that these guys do a good job in our institutions.
Okay. So obviously you must have a sales push then going on with all of the other state agencies to convince them to purchase from you.
That's correct, because okay. we do have salespeople that go out in, we have them stationed in different territories within the Commonwealth that goes out to visit state agencies and municipalities. Most of them don't know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when they do hear our stories, some of them are committed to buy our products in support of the program. We just don't sell products. We support the program. And the program is about making sure that the inmates don't come back, the ones that work for us, when they're released.
That's excellent. And I know, too, that some people might be confused and think that CI just sells products, but they also sell products and the labor. So, for example, I know that there have been maybe some local libraries, churches, where maybe new shelving had to be made and installed for the libraries. And so not only do you make the shelving at an institution, but then you use the inmates to actually install the shelving. Are those community work program inmates from institutions, or are those actual CI inmates that actually go to the site?
These are CI inmates. You know, for example, we just had one last year, Cambria.
Yes.
Cambria school district. Mm-hmm. School district. We totally refurbished the auditorium.
Right.
And we were very proud of that work because the inmates, you know, were taken there by the supervisors, and for them to come back and tell us how fantastic the job was, you can put that in sequence of how much we appreciate this program.
Right. I've seen churches as well be refurbished with beautiful wooden pew work and everything, and floors refurbished. And I think that also helps with your sales, right? Because anybody who sees that in the church congregation, for example, if they work for a nonprofit entity, when they ask, who did this wonderful work, it comes back to CI, and there, by word of mouth, might be some more customers for you.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
The work that I've seen is absolutely just wonderful. So congratulations on those projects. I hope they continue for you. So when we talk about products, what would you say are your top three best-selling products and why? Do you know? License plates?
That would be one.
License plates, obviously.
License
but
plates.
We do have the commissary.
The commissary?
And our laundry.
Okay.
In the laundry part of it is unique to me. Coming from Ohio, mm-hmm. We don't have that.
Okay.
And when I came here and they said the laundry is part of correctional industries, I thought that was a fantastic idea, that all the inmate clothing is sent through us. And to me, admiration on them is, how do they know what inmate has what when they throw the stuff in the laundry basket and the big machines, and these guys come back, collate that stuff and actually know what inmate has what? You know, how do they distribute that? It's still amazing to me.
I know that PCI recently completed a video about the laundry process, mm-hmm. and you know, for you and I, it's exciting.
Yes.
I think it's very interesting. It may not be so exciting for the general public, but I certainly encourage any of our listeners who want to know how the laundry operation works at CI to check out the website and definitely view that video, because it's really kind of eye-opening. Maybe we should do one for the commissary as well, because the commissary is very interesting, and the general public may not understand what the commissary is, so I'm just going to talk real briefly about that. It's like a store system for our inmates.
That's correct.
So the inmates, based upon their security level, are provided with a list of items that they can purchase. So believe it or not, a general population inmate may be able to order a honey bun or ramen noodles
mm-hmm.
or greeting cards that
mm-hmm.
they can then send out to their family members, mm-hmm. shoes, mm-hmm. toothpaste, deodorant. So there's a variety. I mean, it's crazy. And our lists are available on our website at www.cor.pa.gov. So you have regional commissaries, and your customers are the state correctional institutions
That's
in
correct.
Those regions.
Yes.
quite a very unique operation. And I like, too, that it's up to current technology standards where, you know, it's like going through a grocery store. Again, I think we should do a video. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another part that I didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the conveyors, the belt lines, how the inmates start from each station.
Right.
How do they know what stuff to put on that stuff for a particular inmate?
Right.
You know, through the order form that they get. It's amazing. I wish people in the public come and see that.
So there is a conveyor belt system, and there are little stores, in quotes, along the conveyor belt. So one might be the candy store.
Mm-hmm.
And the slip will go and stop at that area on the conveyor belt. The inmate that's working that store will provide the information or the items that the inmate on that slip has ordered. And then it goes on to the next store. It might skip the next store. Maybe the next store is tobacco. Still sell tobacco products. So if the inmate doesn't want tobacco products, it'll go on to the next little store, and then it goes all the way down until the entire order is completed, and then the inmate's account is charged, and it's packaged and shipped back to the institution, and then the inmate picks up his order.
Yes, or her order.
It's very well run. It's very, very impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah. And then, of course, license plates. So we've been in the Pennsylvania DOC, and before we were the DOC, we were the Bureau of Correction up until 1985. We've been making license plates through correctional industry, and the olden days were they had these big presses that would do numerical pressing, clunk, and then the inmate would change the last number to the next number, and they'd clunk, and it would keep going. It's a little different now, but we're still making license plates. So
that's another operation that is very impressive.
Yeah.
As well, to the general public, to just see a license plate,
right,
and they don't know what goes through to the final production of a plate. It's very interesting to see.
So we talked about how you get out to customers, because that was my next one, is you have regional salespeople, and I guess we're working to try and help you update the website to maybe make your items better descriptions, better pictures, and everything on the website. So everybody who's able to purchase from CI should visit the website on a regular basis to learn more about what it is that we do there. Are there any new projects, or I'm sorry, any new products that you're looking to perhaps introduce to CI?
Yes, we are trying to have partnerships with, you know, different agencies within the Commonwealth. Currently, we are partnering with the Department of Transportation, PennDOT, at our forest institution to refurbish snowplows. retrofit the trucks itself, in the long run, to retrofit the trucks itself. When the PennDOT buys this truck, they can bring it to us. Apart from just repairing the snowplows, we can actually retrofit the truck to the standard that they want.
Okay. All right. So I see. So they order a truck and it comes a certain way, but they need to still update it to fit what they need. Okay. But this is something that's just in the very early stages. Is that true?
Well, it's moving well along now.
The contracts
process has gone a long way now. The signatories have been signed. The money from correctional industries have been given to the Department of General Services,
mm-hmm.
and an award has been given to a vendor.
Okay.
And we project that this thing will kick off, you know, around the fall of next year.
Fall of next year. Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we are the press office, I'm sure we'll be doing some sort of PR around that. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. Thank you very much.
And furthermore, at our Housedale location, we're trying to form another industry to produce concrete barriers that you see on the highways, and that's also with the Department of Transportation.
Okay, so we have good partnership. Concrete barriers, which some people might call the Jersey barriers.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. So that would just be pretty much setting up forms according to PennDOT's specifications,
and then
using the appropriate mm-hmm. concrete or whatever
mm-hmm.
and manufacturing them. That's great. That's a great idea. So what do you think citizens would be surprised to learn about CI?
Citizens would be surprised to hear about CI because in normal setting, they would just say, lock these inmates and throw away the keys. And people forget that they are humans. And our pride as CI is to rebrand these guys when they come in. Some of them cannot even read when they come in. Mm-hmm. Some of them never finish high school. But to see them come out, either with a GED and with a job skill that they never acquired before they came to prison, really goes along with to save taxpayers' dollars, because that reduces some recidivism in some kind of way, because when they don't come back, the taxpayers save a lot of money, because I don't know the estimate of how much the prison, it costs about $40,000, maybe around that area, to take care of one inmate during the year. Those are savings that the taxpayers do save that they didn't have no idea about.
Mm-hmm. I just had a question about eligibility. How is an inmate eligible to even work for Correctional Industries? I mean, if they can't read, do you have to wait until they get their GED?
That's exactly who we want. That's exactly who we want, the inmates that cannot read.
Okay.
I went to a shop one time. They said, well, we can't take this inmate because he cannot read a tape measure. Well, our job is, our motto is to teach inmates how to work in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So our job is to teach these inmates how to read a tape measure and how to progress in different stages before you get to a certain position in the factory. You can learn from there and progress as much as you can progress to get to the top positions. It depends on your ability to learn.
And so would an inmate be able to also go to school while in prison and kind of parallel that with CI?
That's correct.
Yes?
Yeah, we encourage the inmates to take all the training, all the schooling that they can. That even helps us when they acquire this type of knowledge and come to us. And I think they go through an interview process in the prison itself. Mm-hmm. They have to apply to work at CI, and they go through the case management in the prison, and you have to meet certain standards that the prison sets, especially your behavior. This prison set that rule that if you don't behave as much as the prison wants you to, you may not necessarily be hired at Correctional Industries.
Another question that just popped into my head is, what's the salary range for an inmate working in Correctional Industries?
Well, we're the only work program that offers a bonus plan. So you have skilled positions such as a welder or someone that works in the optical lab or something like that, that is able to earn more than the general salary. So generally speaking, it's 42 cents, and then they can earn up to 70 cents.
Wow.
On top of that, making a total of 112 in those skilled positions.
Wow.
So they're pretty sought-after positions within the institution.
Because the general population inmate not working in CI earns anywhere from 19 to 42 cents an hour.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. That's very interesting.
And I just want to add about the surprising factor to learn about CI in traveling around to the different facilities and the industries. I think people would be surprised to know how proud the inmates are of the work that they're doing. They are very eager to speak about the skills that they're learning, the trade that they're learning. It's something that gives them purpose. It's very satisfying to go and put in 5 to 6 hours a day while learning something and accomplishing something. So it's not just line work. Mm-hmm. It's actually devising a plan, coming up with a design of something or working something out, looking at a project from the start to finish. And they're very, very proud of that and very eager to talk about that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So, Tracy and Kelly, I just wanted to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to give us the lowdown on Pennsylvania Correctional Industries. And for listeners, to learn more about PCI, please visit the DOC's website at www.cor.pa.gov. And that concludes this episode of Lockup Lowdown.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate the support.